Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Great, Jim. How are you? Excited for the second half of our sort of depth chart show.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. A week ago, we did the offense. This week, it's going to be the defense. Before we get there, though, Andy, you and I were chatting before we started recording. Some nice weather this week. You said you even got out with the wife for a nice long walk.
Yeah, it was above 50.
Leads me to this question, Andy, and longtime listeners of our show will know this because I've mentioned it before. You are an exceptional golfer. What weather do you need for you to get out there golfing?
55. 55 is my number. It used to be 50. 2 years ago, maybe, it was 50. Now that the decades that I have been alive on this earth start with a 6, that has been upped by 5 degrees. It's 55. I'm not fair weather either on the 55. Maybe a little drizzle, but warm. I'll play. I don't mind. What golfer likes wind, but I don't mind a windy day in 58 or 60. I'll play. But 42 and, oh, it's going to be 45 today. That's not bad. Nope. No.
I am a fair weather golfer. I like it. But when I was out this week, and I'm guessing it was in the low 50s here, I kind of had one of those, oh, I'm comfortable enough to be on the golf course right now. Now, I think the course would be very soggy. And I'll tell you, wind is the one thing I absolutely hate. I'll tolerate rain much more than I will wind. Hate it, Andy. Hate it, hate it, hate it. But I will also tell you, when I lived in Philadelphia, I had a bunch of buddies that we all golfed together. We used to have this is terrible as a good Catholic boy. On Good Friday, we would take off half a day in the afternoons and go golfing. And one year I had a very important client, an issue. I couldn't make it. And I was like, oh, thank goodness, because they then showed me some pictures from playing. It was snowing. Yeah, and they were playing, and they finally left the course when, as they rolled their putt, snow was accumulating on the ball. I'm like, no.
No.
Anyway.
Good Catholic boy. Isn't that an oxymoron? Oh, anyway.
Keep going. There will be some who think that. Let's move on. I'll let you off the hook on that one, Andy, and we'll move along. Let's get to our depth chart analysis. We're going to look at the defense this week. And, Andy, I think let's start defensive line, work our way out from there. The defensive line especially was positively affected with the players that were returning. I'm speaking specifically of Zane Durant and Denai Dennis Sutton, a star at tackle, a star at defensive end. Let's start at defensive end, though, Andy. Okay. Of course, Abdul Carter moving on. That's a big loss. He's going to be a top five draft pick. There's no way in the world he's coming back. But the defensive end room looks a lot better with Denai Dennis Sutton coming back.
It does. So he's your all Big Ten, all American, all American candidate. 42 tackles, 13 tackles for a loss, which was second on the team, by the way, to the aforementioned Abdul Carter. And he had 8 sacks a year ago. He also broke up 10 passes, Jimmy, from his spot. He's very disruptive. He's a large human being and with a pretty good wingspan. He had one interception, by the way. Do you remember it? No. How can you forget it? Ridiculous. So he's your elite NFL guy, right? Like, he came back. If he'd have made the decision to go to the NFL, that wouldn't have been. It wasn't a surprise either way. Whatever he decided, he is an elite NFL talent. That's the bottom line. Will he get better? I think so. But you mentioned it. Yeah, you've lost your upcoming NFL first round draft pick. That's going to happen. Amin Vanover, out of eligibility, was a productive backup, Jimmy. Smith Vilbert, he entered the transfer portal recently this past week in a late window. I'm not there. We'll talk about that, I guess, a little bit. He was part of your competent backup crew last year that when they rotated at the defensive end position, you didn't see Penn State struggle at the defensive end position when the elite two were not on the field. So, you know, a guy like Zariah Fisher is a candidate, right? He's coming off missing, you know, his second season at Penn State with an injury. He also missed the 2022 season. So, you know, you have your elite NFL guy, but finding the next two to three now, beyond denied Dennis Sutton, I think that's a challenge for Mr. Deion Barnes and as the defensive line coach. How can you not be a fan of denied Dennis Sutton? I've been a fan since day one. I'm like, this guy, that spring game where he broke up everything, and you're like, well, he's up against the backups. Yeah, I know. I don't care. He's not going to do that this coming year, but that guy is going to be disruptive. I gave the defensive ends a 3.0, Jimmy, on the confidence scale, 1 to 5. They've got their elite NFL spotlight guy, but you know, behind it, there's some candidates, but it is not solidly known, and there will be some development and some, you know, snap counts and roster positioning to figure out by Barnes and the coaching staff.
Andy, when you start with a guy like Deny Dennis Sutton, it makes everything else better. It makes everybody else better because obviously opponents have to focus on him. What I think is the guy who could turn this thing around or be a difference maker, Max Granville, the guy who actually he was supposed to be a senior in high school, changed that, left high school early, and actually got on the field as not even a true freshman, but really a high school senior, if you will. It is interesting, though, with the people that they lost, Amin Vanover, you mentioned, obviously Abdul Carter, when Smith Vilbert left, a little bit surprising, Andy, this timing makes cynical Jim think, you know, wonder what's going on there. And yes, is it somebody passed him by that he wasn't going to be the starter that he expected to be? Did some other school offer money? Was there another problem? Makes you think something else was going on.
It doesn't. It's any one or all of the above, to be honest, Jimmy. Look, he's a long-term guy, so he transferred late as a grad transfer. If he would not have been a graduate student, he couldn't have entered the portal at this time. So it was a Johnny-come-lately decision. Look at where we're heading into, Jimmy. It's almost time for spring ball, right? Like, kind of do the math. It feels like there was a conversation had. When you've got denied Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter and you're Smith Vilbert, you're pretty happy in a, you know, and you're happy in your development and the minutes that you're playing. He's not happy now.
All right, let's move on to the tackle position. I mentioned, Andy, your defensive end, Deny Dennis Sutton's the anchor at the tackle position. Penn State traditionally rotates quite a bit at the tackle position, but the anchor is Zane Durant.
He became the anchor, right? They were solid last year. He just became one step above the other three, right? They had four defensive tackles. They all came back. They had spent 2 or 3 years together as a group, were better than any one individual player. He just became a next line disruptor in the middle. 42 tackles, 11 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks. He's the one of the quartet who took the step forward. He's disruptive up the middle, but he's also an impact player as well. That's your building block, right? He's your defensive guy. They lost all of that other valuable experience and sort of, you know, rubber on, you know, some wear on the tires of guys who you knew their names. You knew what to expect, but they played a lot of guys last year. Caleb Artis played 11 games. He'll be a candidate to be a frontline guy. Alonzo Ford Jr. also played 11 games and will be a candidate to be a frontline guy in the rotation. Third year guy, Ty Blanding, made his way into 5 groups. And it's going to be a new group, but it feels to me like it has all the right ingredients that Deion likes to work with and that he's built. And these are guys that he's worked with and pretty much these are his guys and he's built them. Your top four, I think, is a little bit known in some capacity. Plus, you have an elite guy. 4.0 for me, Jimmy. I am very bullish on this inside interior group. I think with Zane Duran as your anchor, and while not what they had going into a year ago, I still think there's more meat on the bone. Going back and watching some film on these guys, looking how much they played, looking at their stats, I'm like, you know, they went beyond 4 last year. They played 5, 6, 7 guys on a fairly consistent basis, and these weren't garbage minutes these guys were picking up. So I'm bullish on the interior defensive line. Zane Durant is your, you know, spotlight guy, but beyond that, it's better than you think. And I think up front still, I still think Penn State's going to be a force in 2025 up front defensively.
Andy, I want to circle back to defensive end for just one more minute. One name that we missed was transfer Anai White, who was very, very highly regarded, went to Texas A&M, suffered several injuries while there. Is he a possible breakout candidate at defensive end also, Andy?
Same as Zariah Fisher. 2 years, lost to injury. When he did play, was good. He's a potential breakout candidate at the position. What he put on tape is good.
All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number one and the defensive line. When we come back, quarter number two, I'm going to be really intrigued by what you have to say, Andy, about the linebackers. We're going to do that right after this break.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. This is our look at the defensive depth chart going into the 2025 season. A week ago, we looked at the offense. A segment ago, quarter number one, we looked at the defensive line, Andy. So now it's time to work our way back. It's time to hit the linebackers. This is a group that I think going into last season, we weren't quite sure about it, weren't quite sure about the depth. I think I have some similar questions. The one guy who left who wasn't that surefire NFL player like Abdul Carter was Kobe King, the middle linebacker who, you know, there's one argument for him leaving saying he is what he is. We're not going to see a huge difference. My take on it was I think he would have been well advised to return I think in this day and age of NIL, where you can compensate players, where he could make some money, I'm not sure what his NFL status is going to look like. One more year with what should be a really good team, but that ship has sailed. He has moved on, Andy. What do they have left at the linebacker position? You start with Tony Rojas and Dom DeLuca, the returning veterans.
Yeah, real quick on King. He found his ceiling last year. Like, he got a lot better from the year before. He found his ceiling. That's when you're done. That's pretty much, and I understand what you're saying about, I don't think another year at Penn State moves that ceiling for him. He found it. That was as good as he could play.
Andy, and this is where I think NFL scouts and teams are human, okay? I think that there's a difference if he comes back and has a comparable year to a year ago.
He would.
Penn State's going to have such a spotlight on them this year that even though he reached his plateau a year ago, I think there'll be more spotlight on him, more opportunities for him to shine, that it would help his draft status, even if physically he doesn't perform any better than he did a year ago. It's human nature. When you're that kind of team that's going to be in the playoffs, more spotlight on you, I think he could have helped his draft status. And the other part to that argument is, boy, these guys can now be before it used to be, you know what? There's zero compensation in college. Not the case anymore, Andy.
Correct.
Go to the NFL. You got to perform and make the team.
Very articulate and passionate and good argument, Jimmy. 100% agree to disagree. So that's okay. Right? Like,
fair enough, Andy. Fair enough.
Right? So let's talk about 2025 in the linebacker position. And you start with, like, Tony Rojas is the uber talent young guy, right? Played a ton a year ago. And then you have your Dom DeLuca. You're sort of like, who doesn't get is not going to ever be recognized as sort of an elite linebacker, but he kind of plays like an elite linebacker. Former walk-on, right? Special teams guy, earned his stripes the hard way, playing in a specialty role, upped his minutes, he's elite, Jimmy. He's matured and made himself into every bit of the linebacker that Tony Rojas is, I would argue. At right now, is the ceiling higher for Tony? Yeah, but they have exactly what they need in a 4-2-5 up front in the first line in your known guys. They have exactly what they needed in those two guys. Dom DeLuca is the ultimate. He is exactly who you think he is and exactly what you expect out of him. He will deliver. It's not going to be better. It's not going to be different. It's going to be exactly what you want to need. Something tells me that Jim Doles is going to be really comfortable with that, right? Rojas has a ceiling. There's more to be found in it. He is a crazy elite type athlete, right? He makes splash plays. He flashes. He comes up and, you know, like against SMU, makes that interception, runs it back for a pick six and looks like a running back, right? Because he was a former running back in high school. He's that kind of player. His devil in the details is still a swampy muck. It's just not very good. That's why he needs another year. He needs to stop ducking under tackles, right? Under blocks to try and giving up his solid gap retention. He's going 100 miles an hour and making the wrong decision. His gap retention needs to be better. So his little things that would make him a complete whole linebacker need a lot of work. And Dan Connor's a good guy, the new linebackers coach. Good guy. Dan Connor was just a physical beast who was elite because the devil in the details on him were like a fine spit polished piece of brass. They were beautiful. And he was just a physical guy. This is an athletic guy, Tony Rojas, whose devil in the details don't have any Brasso on the pollen, any Brasso on the brass. So will be what elevates his complete game to the next level, because the flashy high stuff is there. So those are your two frontline guys. You will see plenty of Tamir Robinson this season. He flashed in 11 games, Jimmy, that he appeared in a year ago. He will be part of, they're going to be the three linebackers. I think they're probably going to play all three in sort of an equal basis. Behind them, I thought Keon Wiley made some significant progress in 2023. He lost last year pretty much to a serious injury. Healthy again, will he be part of the depth of this position? Possibly. I'm kind of bullish on the linebackers. I know you think it's a big deal, and I don't disagree with you that, you know, the loss hurts, right? The loss of the position hurts. But they still have, these are the right dudes in a 4-2-5 that Penn State likes to run. I think they've got three of the right dudes to mix and match in a variety of ways. I went 3.5 on them, Jimmy. I think that could be low, but right now where it sits, it's 3.5. I think they could be holistically, the three trio could be better than last year.
That's interesting, Andy. And it will be fascinating to see how Jim Knowles uses the linebacker. You know, this is the position that we talked a lot about it last year, you know, 4-3-4 versus 4-2-5, you know, right. Two linebackers versus three. Do you take a safety, call him a linebacker? I mean, one could argue that, you know, Tony Rojas at his size when he first came to Penn State, you know, you could argue he was a big safety. Dom DeLuca started at safety. It's interesting. Both those guys are listed at 230 and above now, okay, right. Which is interesting to see. I like the way you described Rojas needs to work on the devil in the details portion of it. I think Dom DeLuca, you got to remember, he tore up his knee coming out of high school. This right. is a guy who's, I believe, much more athletic than the, you know, the stereotyping of a walk-on. Okay.
Correct. So
I don't think he's often given the credit that he deserves. What I am concerned about, and I brought up the weight because I'm looking at one depth chart that lists, you know, I'm looking for, though, the Kobe King replacement. The guy who's out there not to flash. Well, Andy, you know, when the game is near the end and Ohio State has the ball on their own 3-yard line and chooses to run the ball 10 times in a row and Penn State knows it, everyone in the crowd knows what they're going to do, and you are not able to make the stop, that's when you need that guy, Andy. And that still concerns me. And I wonder if there's a guy, can Tamir Robinson be that guy? Can Anthony Specka be that guy? Is there somebody else who could be that guy who's not out there to flash? He's out there to make sure that, you know, a 3-yard run doesn't turn into an 8 or 9 yard run.
You have one specific scenario that you're concerned about. Good for you. And they got, what do I feel? I think you could put Dom DeLuca there in that situation. Athletic, but also bigger, stronger, and more physical than you think, Jimmy, right? Like you said to yourself, I don't think he gets enough credit for what he is. He's not an every snap, like, you know, interior linebacker, but can he be that guy in a 8 or 10 snap window inside the opponent stuck inside their own 10-yard line? I think he can. Can Tamir Robinson do that? I'm pretty sure that guy's got some development that you're going to see blossom this year. He's that guy too. So I think they have it. It's who would it be their go-to in that situation. That's why I said that I'm bullish on this position, because I think they got all the right parts, the right dudes, and they all have, you look at it all together and I'm like, they got a little bit of everything that you'd want and need, right? Okay, what do you want? But it's also, what do you need? I think they got a little bit of it all, Jimmy. I see it. And so that's why this is the position that I'm very bullish on. Like, you would think it's like, well, you know, okay, Tony Rojas is the name guy, but okay, Dom DeLuca, he's your, like, you're like, you know, he's your veteran, long-serving program guy. He's a lot more than that. So, and I am, I think I just unzip, you know, sort of unzip my jacket and let you know, let you see my t-shirt. I think Tamir Robinson's got blossom in him. A lot of blossom. I watched some film back from last year over the 11 games that he played. He's coming, Jimmy. That's the guy that I think will blossom under Jim and Dan Connor this year, big time.
Real quickly, because we hadn't talked about this earlier, LeVar Arrington II, he gets the stick, Sandy. He's wearing number 11. Fans are going to ask it. What are we going to see from him?
Not much this year, hopefully. If you do, then you've got more problems at linebacker than you expected to have. Let's just be honest. I mean, it's not like you look at it and you go, ah, there's one guy here, and then you've got five guys looking at one other position. How are they going to mix and match that? You've got three. I think, in my opinion, you got three frontliners.
All right, Andy. Just real quick, LeVar Arrington Sr. didn't name him LeVar Arrington Jr. It's the second. Was that the two to show the off six. The sticks there? All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. Stick around. Ask Andy coming up.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesdays, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for your questions and it's time to ask Andy. If you want to send in a question for Andy, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button and away you go. You know what? It is definitely the off season, Andy. You mentioned before that you like this segment during the off season because it's not the, you know, like in season questions like, would you think of Nicholas Singleton's long run? Or, you know, it's more bigger picture kind of questions. But some weeks there are things where, well, let me let Steve from Columbia, our buddy Steve from Columbia, kind of define what this week's questions are going to be all about.
Oh,
and
boy.
If you recall, Steve was the one who would ask if you would cut off your pinky toe for a championship.
I do. So, no. Yeah.
Here's Steve in Columbia saying, Andy and Jim, let's face it, not much burning to discuss. So, do you refrigerate peanut butter? I used to, but recently have evolved into not. I like it. Your thoughts. In the Shea household, where do you keep your peanut butter?
In the pantry. No. Why would you want peanut butter, which already sticks to your spoon, fork, or whatever you knife, whatever you dig in there to get out with your peanut butter, it sticks on it like crazy, although the dog loves licking the peanut butter spoon. let's just say that's helpful. But why would you want that cold and like even stickier and like, no. Peanut butter is a definite, no, peanut butter is one of two food items. I think you could say, yay, are you a refrigerator yay or nay guy? The other one is ketchup.
And your ketchup. Answer for ketchup?
Ketchup is cold.
Hey, Andy.
What do you mean your ketchup's warm? You get your warm ketchup at your fast food place. I want my ketchup cold to go with my hot, whatever fries. I'm dipping in ketchup. French fries, your tater tots. You could be, you know, whatever you're having with ketchup.
Okay, an important question here. Hot dogs, ketchup on them or no?
No, no, never, ever, no. Mustard is acceptable. Relish is acceptable. Cheese, chili, sauerkraut. A Chicago dog is okay, but ketchup on a hot dog, embarrassing. That's embarrassing. That's like, do you put ketchup on your bratwurst? What? No. No, I would be plain, dry, bone dry, nothing before I would put any ketchup on a hot dog.
Well, first of all, I get the questions ahead of time. Back to the original question, the peanut butter. First of all, my peanut butter is in my pantry. My ketchup is in the refrigerator.
Yes!
And I here's the research that I did on this. I grabbed my peanut butter from my pantry and looked, and it literally says on it, no need to refrigerate. All right, let's move on. Let's get to Mike in Charlotte. Knowing the NCAA loses all its challenges and there is pay to play now, do you see a player who leaves after 3 years to go to the NFL or NBA come back after their career is over and use up their final year of eligibility? For example, Saquon Barkley after his NFL career. And could he come back for a season at Penn State for, say, $1 million that year?
It would have to be challenged, though, right? Like a player, okay, let's say you're Saquon Barkley. Saquon would have to petition through the courts and the NCAA, I would guess. The NCAA through the courts to mandate them to restore that final year eligibility for him to use it. As a football player, right? Don't you think that's how I don't know. Why would you want to do that? That's
Andy. Well, first of all, Saquon Barkley is probably a bad example. Both with the money he's made, he's not going to come back for $1 million. And number two, as a running back, he's going to be beat to hell playing in the NFL. Okay. Now, here's another, I think a more likely scenario is, you know, I mentioned about Kobe King going to the NFL, maybe not the best decision. His brother Kalen King in the same scenario. But I could picture a guy like that who it's questionable whether he should go to the NFL or not. He goes, it doesn't work out, Andy. He gets cut. He now has no more football career left.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Mike's got a point though. Now that I see it, I see it now, Jimmy.
Would I also wonder?
That becoming, yeah.
I'm not a lawyer, Andy, but what I wonder is if this is part of why the schools do not want the players to be considered employees. Because if you're considered an employee, it's like, hey, you're my ability to work and make a living. You're taking that away from me by not allowing me to go back. I mean, where does this going to court end? You know, he mentions, oh, they have a year of eligibility left. Well, what if they don't? What if they just say, hey, why can't I go and make a living? That's, again, part of the downside of compensating, you know, the players now. I think, Andy, what could eventually happen here is if the courts don't support the schools, that it might go to Washington, okay, and the Congress may step in here at some point and say, wait a minute, that's a step too far.
So here's how I want to put it. I would classify this, and it's I give Mike and Charlotte full credit. Mike, you get full credit in honor of Saturday Night Live's 50th year and their anniversary recently. This is Deep Thoughts with Mike from Charlotte. Like, you know, they had that sort of short, deep thoughts with. And so this is a deep, because this is something that I would have never thought of or considered, right? But now that I think about it, I'm like, in the game and as much as it's changed, you know what, Mike? It's not like just a crazy thought in your head. It's not, but it's a good one. Like, I would have never, if you'd have given me 50 things that you said talk about in college football, this would have never even entered my mind or made the list. So it's a well thought out deep thought, and if it happened, it wouldn't surprise me. That's the thing I'm saying. If a player did this and came back and petitioned like that, I'd be like, well, yeah, there. Everything else is happening in college football. Why not? So this is not outside the box. Well done, Mike.
And Andy, I think, again, the core of this issue is that people can be compensated now to play in college. So does that make it a job? And any rule that disallows you from participating keeps you from making a living. And that's the way the courts look at it. All right. Andy, let's go to Brad in Perkasie, who says, if someone is not
Brad.
Yeah, if someone is not going to do any of the workouts at the combine and they're healthy, should they have to give up their spot to someone who will do at least one drill?
So the combine is an invite only. You have to be invited by the NFL to the combine. So you receive the invite and take it, and then you're not injured, and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to take your invite, but I'm not going to do anything. So I think as I'm processing this in my head, as I think through that scenario, I'm like, okay, well, then why'd you say yes in the first place, knucklehead, if you're not hurt? But it's like, well, I was invited to the combine. I get it. That's a pride thing. Put, you know, yes, my answer is yes. The NFL should invite somebody else. If you're not going to work, and there's another player, I would think it needs to be a player at the same position. That might be my caveat. Invite somebody else at that position to have a moment on that stage. Why not?
Well, Andy, I don't know exactly how the combine works as far as do they invite like X number of players for each position and that's it, okay? 10 running backs, 10 quarterbacks. Or do they say, you know what, here's the line where we think we want to look at these. There may be 12 running backs, but only 10 quarterbacks.
And it's not a hard cap, Jimmy. There's not hard numbers. The bottom number, the total number of invites to the combine is a hard number. But how they do it inside of that is not – that can move.
Okay. Well, and, you know, I think the idea of I would say put the more guys who get the opportunity, the better. And I think it's not just better for the player, but for the NFL teams also. Like, hey, the more guys we get to look at and evaluate, the better. Now, I don't know if Brad's thought is that, gee, I resent these guys who say they're not going to participate in drills. But you look at this, you know, Travis Hunter. He does not have to run a 40, Andy. He doesn't have to do anything, and he's going to be a top pick. I know Abdul Carter is still dealing with his shoulder injury, and maybe he's even physically healthy, but hasn't been able to work out himself to put himself in the best physical condition for the combine, and he's choosing not to. But again, you know what? I'm going to help out these NFL teams, okay? If you don't see Abdul Carter work out at the combine, I'm helping you here. He's good. He's really good. Okay? You don't have to see him run. You don't have to see him lift. Trust me. Really, really good. Okay? You don't need to see that workout.
Breaking news, Jimmy, before we jump on the air today, Abdul Carter has a stress reaction in his right foot. And tests revealed that just within the last 24 hours. And he will need to decide whether he has surgery. So he obviously will not be working out at the combine. So it sounds like he has a stress fracture, stress reaction in his foot, in his right foot. So okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
There's more going on. You know what? He might just come up, Andy, with enough physical issues that the first 32 teams or 30 teams in the NFL? How many teams
32,
are in the NFL?
32.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he won't be healthy enough for the first 31 teams who pick, and he might still be on the board there at number 32. By the way, who picks number 32?
The Eagles.
Oh yeah, that's right. The Super Bowl winning Eagles, Andy. That it might just turn out that way. All right, that is it for quarter number three and Ask Andy. Stick around, we got one more segment to go.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four of our evaluation of the 2025 defensive depth chart. Andy, we went through defensive line, we went through linebackers. Now it's time for the DBs. And Andy, it's a fascinating group. I don't know if this is, you know, credit should go, and I know at least partially to the coaches back there, but it just seems like to me anyway, year after year, this team is solid at cornerback. It's solid at safety. It's at bare minimum solid with a ceiling of really, really good.
Hello, Terry Smith. Hello, Anthony Poindexter. They're those position coaches, right? That's your safety coach and your cornerbacks coach. They're really, really, really good at their jobs. And they know what they're looking for. They know what they want. They understand. You know, I mean, Penn State's about to have its third defensive coordinator in 3 years, right? Manny, last year you had Tom. Now you're about to have Jim Knowles. It's okay, whatever. Yeah, it's they know exactly what they're looking for. They know, and they recruit it, and they can also find it in the transfer portal, in the limited work in the portal that Penn State does. They're just really good at their jobs, and that's a bonus.
And you know what, Andy, I think that is true, and it's interesting you mentioned the portal, and cornerback is, you know, a place where they've really prospered in the portal, and even guys, you know, A.J. Harris, Jalen Kimber, who both came in last year. Now Kimber's moving on, but, you know, A.J. Harris is I talked about the anchor at defensive end tonight, Dennis Sutton, tackle Zane Durant. Let's start with cornerback here among the DBs. A.J. Harris could be that anchor among the cornerbacks.
Yeah, so he came in very highly touted as a transfer from Georgia, right? He was definitely going to be a starter. He was definitely going to play. I'd be interested to hear, what did you think of his first season at Penn State, Jimmy?
I don't think we saw that ceiling. I thought it was solid, but I'm not sure we saw quite the flash that we were hoping for.
So I agree. I thought he was very, very good, not great. But I did think he was elite at run support. Like, he was a willing run support corner. I thought he was really, really good, but he had one interception. He didn't jump out to you. Maybe that's a good thing as a corner. So he's your starting at endpoint at this position. They lost some guys in the transfer. The other corner is open season, Jimmy. I mean, Terry Smith's gonna. We just sang his praises, right? He's gonna be busy this spring and into fall camp because there's a litany of names he's got to choose from to figure out who is his other frontline corner, who are his rotational corners, how does that look, what are the strengths and weaknesses. He knows it all more than we do already. Now he's looking for what's in development. But you've got Elliot Washington, Adavian Collins, Kenny Wosley, young guys, John Mitchell, Tyler Armstead. These are all unknown, pretty much, quantities that Penn State's going to be looking at. These are all guys that are in the mix to get frontline snaps and to figure out that third rotational snap, that fourth rotational snap, because they will use them. The position itself is a corner is in a little bit of a turnover, and building sort of that known depth. So my confidence number in this position is low at 2.5, even though we know they have a solid building block at the one corner. It's more transition and more building than we've seen in probably at least 5 to 6 years for Penn State at this position. Do they have the right guy coaching that position to find what they're looking for? Yeah, I you have to trust Terry Smith. You have to say, I'm not doing it out of cause. I'm doing it out of it's earned. Terry will figure it out. And well, these are his guys. These are the guys he wants out there fighting for this spot. So that's why I went a little bit low in the confidence, because they don't have a second one, and there's a litany of guys looking to step into a role.
Andy, I'm probably a little more bullish on this group than you are, because I think A.J. Harris is a good place to start. And I do believe Davian Collins, they spoke very highly of him last year. I thought he showed some stuff. I thought they showed a lot of confidence in Elliot Washington. I think it's more, you know, who's number four and number five. And if that's the case at cornerback, I think you're in a pretty good spot.
You feel a cornerback like I do at linebacker. Like, yeah. I'm like, they got the right stuff. You feel a cornerback, they have the right stuff. And I don't disagree with you. I just see it a little bit differently, and that's okay. We both see the same thing at the top, and we both know that it's the right stuff. Can Terry Smith pull the right stuff together? You got to trust that guy. So it's just a little – it's more unknown than Penn State is used to at this position, but I still think it'll end up looking like – it's not going to look any worse than last year, right? Like, it wasn't bad. I think they're fine. But right now, anyway.
Okay, let's talk safety. And, you know, the starting point there is Zaki Wheatley. The other interesting guy in all this mix, Andy, I think, is King Mack, the prodigal son, back making his way back to Penn State from Alabama.
Yeah, I'm going to move King back a little bit, and I'm going to throw Zion Tracy at you. I'm putting Zaki Wheatley and Zion Tracy, you know, the line, it's a safety. It's a move around safety, right? They call it the lion position, whatever. Those two guys are elite. There's just no other way to put it, Jimmy. They were all Big Ten first team performers a year ago. The way they played game 1 through 16 and what they were asked to do and step up into. And you know what? I think going into 2025, both of them are potential outside All-American candidates. I think they are. Yes, King is back. Interesting. Opportunity exists now at Penn State. I would argue that there was less opportunity when, you know, KJ Winston, you know, you didn't know at this time a year ago, there was less opportunity for King Mack at Penn State as a safety than there is right now, a year ago. So there is opportunity here. I like DeJuan Lane. I think Lane played in all 16 games, and I think he's another factor to me that makes this the strongest single position for Penn State defense heading into 2025. I think in those four guys, I think you have four starters, Jimmy. Again, there we go. Again, and this position for me, I'm a 4.5, Jimmy. I think you have four starters. I think you have four known quantities. I think there is opportunity for King Mack. He's a good player. I think he thrives at Penn State this year. And I think those two guys up front are just ridiculously good. They might be slightly undervalued, but my gosh, are they good.
And Andy, I think, you know, part of this equation, and we're going to get to the coaches here in a second, but is that, you know, 4.25 versus 4.34, you know,
4.25.
These safeties are so good.
4.25.
Do you put an extra safety out on the field, Andy?
Yes. Yes. And yes, Jimmy. Yes. 4.25. They proved last year that no matter what was thrown at them, they could handle it with the third safety and then a 4.25 set. The lion position, whatever you want to call it. They thrive in that type of defense.
And you mentioned, Andy, about A.J. Harris as a cornerback being a willing tackler. By the way, at cornerback, the word willing tackler. Is that word willing is the most important. But these safeties have shown their willingness to play in the box, stick their nose in there, and do some good work tackling. Let's talk, because it is relevant, on the defensive side. Another new defensive coordinator, third coordinator in 3 years, Andy.
Yep.
Jim Knowles, so highly thought of, won a national championship with that Ohio State team, did excellent work with Oklahoma State prior. What effect is he going to have on this defense?
He wants to be here. Like, he left the defending national champions to take this job. That means he want, in his mind, he coveted this job.
You know, let's not forget he had 3 million good reasons also.
Yeah, but Ohio State offered him plenty of millions of good reasons as well, Jimmy, to stay where he was. This was coveted. That's, to me, that's the, and that's where it starts and ends with me. This is what he wanted to do. This is where he wanted to be. This is the defense that he wanted to coach. I can understand it. Man, dude, you got Terry Smith and Anthony Poindexter as your secondary position coaches who, you know, Poindexter's been there 4 years. Anyway, one thing I want to drop in here. Don't forget, Anthony's a College Football Hall of Famer. I just think that gets sort of like these guys, those two guys are simply elite. Terry's been doing it for a long time. And Terry Smith, associate head coach, great recruiter, all of that. He's now just one of three Penn State football lettermen on the defensive coaching staff. Deion Barnes, defensive line, Penn State leader, letterman. Recently minted just this past week, Dan Connor is moving up from the role that he's matriculated through the last 3 years in off the field to a little bit more on the field with the new rules. And now he's the linebacker coach. Each of the previous two coordinators coached the linebackers as well. Now Dan Connor is your linebackers coach. So you got three of your four position coaches are Penn State football lettermen. And yeah, you have a new coordinator, and you've got, it just seems like this mix is like perfect. Right. And the way this defense has performed the last 3 years, ridiculous. And there's nothing but the expectation for them to be that defense again.
And you know what, Andy, I'm changed in my opinion on Jim Knowles. I was concerned at first, older guy, is this his last payday? But I was not crazy about the last defensive coordinator. I know the numbers overall were pretty good, but there were some times that defense didn't come out up big when they could have really used it. I'm thinking Jim Knowles could help them out in that scenario. And I've also just reached a point, Andy, where year after year, the talent's going to be there on the defense. And I do think this staff is a big part of that.
The staff is playing a major role, particularly on the back end. And Deion Barnes, young guy, great hire by Franklin. I mean, the development and slash production early has been fantastic.
All right, final word there from Andy. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.